The National Theatre of Brent presents the entire epic struggle of the suffragettes in the omnibus edition of the Woman's Hour drama, Giant Ladies That Changed the World.
Hello, I am Desmond Olivier Dingle, the Artistic Director and Chief Executive of the National Theatre of Brent. Now, many of you may be rather surprised to be here in my rather masculine tones on the renowned and exclusively for ladies programme, Woman's Hour.
Yes, not yet, Raymond. Right.
In fact, believe it or not, I am actually the first actual living human male in the human history of the BBC to be actually...
And me also, Desmond.
And Raymond as well, obviously. Thank you, Raymond.
Raymond Box.
Yes, Raymond Box. Thank you, Raymond.
Thank you.
Right. To be actually allowed here, in this hallowed place and inner sanctums of the actual exclusive ladies-only Woman's Hour studio.
Reserved exclusively for the ladies.
Yeah, right. And I am actually standing at this moment behind or at the actual ladies' microphone actually used by some of the most famous lady radio, lady luminaries ever known. Ladies such as Dame Jenny Murray, obviously, Dame Joan Bakewell, Dame Valerie Singleton, Dame Shirley Valentine, and many more, obviously.
Obviously.
I just said that, actually, Raymond.
You.
And the reason for this very great honour and privilege is that we, Raymond and myself, have been personally invited by the Woman's Hour, to recreate for the viewers at home our own unique and historic reconstruction
of them first burgeoning days of them ladies known as the suffragettes.
Exactly.
Suffragettes.
Yeah.
Which will be...
Yeah, I'm doing this, actually, Raymond, please.
Right.
Right. Which will be the first time, a Woman's Hour exclusive, that this moving and historic story will have been done entirely by two men.
Yes, and also at joining us, a unique addition to the play we're doing.
Yes, I'm just about to say that, actually, Raymond.
Right.
And so, joining us for today's drama, we are delighted to welcome the Queen's College Ladies Choir of the Queen's College Ladies College in London.
Who are all ladies.
Yes, obviously, Raymond.
Oh, just saying.
Right. And so, let us now commence our historic story for today, entitling Giant Ladies
That Changed the World.
Thank you, Raymond.
What?
The year is 1900 and something, approximately, and Queen Victoria has recently died, having created Victorian England, preceded by Edward. Our story begins in London. Not in the corridors of power, or in the mighty or historic halls of governance, no. But in a simple home, in a simple London, simple street. We present Act One, The Winds of Change.
Hello, little Dorrit.
Hello, my husband, the Right Honourable Mr. Dorrit.
Hello.
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 And how pretty you look in your little, lovely, little, pretty, crinoline little frock, little Dorrit.
Why, thank you, kind sir.
A pleasure, my darling wife. Anyway, how lovely to be a man in this lovely male-oriented world where all is in its place and as it should be also.
Yes, and how lovely to be a lady in this lovely late and oriented world. We're all in this place as should be.
As it should be also.
Yes. Husband!
What is it, little Dorrit?
It's the wind suddenly come out of nowhere. The window just burst open without warning.
Don't worry yourself, my darling. Let me close it immediately with my capable manly hands.
Oh.
Good. What's the matter with this wretched There. Done it! All is well again.
What was that?
What, my darling?
Did you not hear it?
Only the wind, my darling, and the unusually stormy weather for this time of year. But what on earth is it, my little flower bud? You're suddenly looking strangely pale and pallid and haunted, if you don't mind my saying so.
It won't happen again, will it, husband?
Of course it won't, my darling.
There it is again. Who are you? What do you want?
Right, just jam it with this handy book of Mrs. Beaton's handy household hints. There, and that's an end to it.
But who on earth were you talking to just then?
Talking to? Nobody, husband. No one at all.
Good. Anyway, did you have a pleasurable and constructive ladies' day, sewing, knitting, and arranging flowers in all your attractive Edwardian vases?
Yes, thank you. What a busy day.
Right.
And also I crocheted a doily in the shape of a little kitten.
How lovely.
And made a jolly little lavender pomander and
marvelous.
A milk junket with cinnamon and nutmeg. And I also...
I think that'll do, actually.
Oh, yes. Sorry, you don't want to hear about my silly ladies' day.
Right.
So, anyway... Did you have a good day as a politician in the famous Houses of Parliament where you work, if you don't mind my asking?
Yes, most satisfactory, thank you, little Dorrit.
Not too stressful, I hope.
Well, dealing with the weighty matters of world affairs and the state of the nations is always stressful, obviously. But knowing I had you to come home to my little love heart made it all worthwhile.
Thank you. But what actually is it you actually do, mine husband?
Good heavens. That's a very big question for a little pretty little sweet little pretty little lady. Well, we talk and debate and plan things and delegate and generally run things. And it's all very important and complicated. Okay?
Right. But...
I think that's enough questions for now, my darling.
But actually, I was just wondering, why actually... Do men run things in this world, if you don't mind telling me, actually?
Why do... How absolutely charming.
Thank you.
They run things, my dear, because, well, because they know how to run things. Does that answer your question, dearest? Can you imagine what would happen if ladies were to run things? The Houses of Parliament would be full of flowers and gooseberry syllabobs and a fine selection of milk puddings, while the world collapsed into total chaos and anarchy.
Total chaos and anarchy? Oh, yes, it certainly would. You're quite right, my husband.
So, now we've sorted that one out, I'm going to sit down, as I always do, by the roaring fire with my pipe. My trusty dog...
Sausage.
What?
His name's Sausage.
Right. Down, boy.
Sausage.
Right. Down, Sausage. Right. Roll over, Sausage. Good. Play dead. Good, Sausage. Right, that's enough now. That's all right, Raymond. That's enough, Raymond. Bad dog in your basket. Just shut up, Raymond.
Thank you.
And finally, my daily newspaper. Ah, there we are, you see. Look, exactly what I was referring to.
What, my husband? What is it?
A perfect case in point. Listen to this. Dear, dear, dear. We want the vote. Mrs. Emmeline Pankhurst, the leader of the so-called suffragettes, announced today, and we won't stop at nothing till we get it. I can't even bear to read it.
With her was her daughters, Christabel, Sylvia and Adela, who all agreed. Oh. We all agree, they agreed. And so do thousands of other ladies who all agree as well. And if any other ladies reading this agree as well also and want to join us as well, please join us if you all agree also as well. Also.
Absolutely appalling. Oh, isn't it? I said, isn't it?
Oh, yes, terrible.
Don't these ladies have husbands to keep them in check? Little Dorrit? Ridiculous! These ladies have no idea how lucky they are. Are you listening to me, little Dorrit?
Sorry, husband?
I said, will you put that newspaper down, please?
Sorry.
Some ladies don't even have husbands. Think of that. Is that what these ladies want? Is that what you want, little Dorrit?
No, me, no!
Could you know what you'd be then, don't you?
What?
A spinster, that's what you'd be.
A spinster?
Yes, an unmarried lady, or... old maid who has nothing to do all day but write novels.
Novels?
Yeah, big books with lots of words in them.
Yes, I know what a novel is, husband.
I beg your pardon. You didn't raise your voice to me then, did you?
No, mine husband.
Good. You're behaving very strangely today, I must say. Shall I get you your smelling salts?
Yes, perhaps I think I should have my smelly salts, thank you.
Right. There we are. Raymond. Anyway, don't do that, please. Raymond!
That should do it.
Sick. Anyway, have no fear, my darling. You are not a spinster, but a married lady. Married to myself, in fact, i.e. a man, which means automatically, I put this, mine.
Right.
So you have nothing to worry about. All right?
Yes, thank you.
So, all is well again.
Yes.
Right. Good. Such a lovely little safe little snug little haven we've got, isn't it, my darling? And listen to that. That lovely brass band in the distance. Do you know what they're playing?
No.
Nearer, my God, to thee.
Right.
'Cause that's where we are, isn't it, my dear?
Yes, husband.
All is well with the world and everything is as it should be. Isn't it?
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
Good.
But why is it that
now what?
Why can't ladies do what men do?
Listen, I am born a man and you are born a lady and that is what we are, just like it says in the Bible.
Right.
What does the Bible say? Adam was all alone in the garden, wasn't he? All alone.
Yes, yes, he was, yes.
And he saith unto God, what does he saith unto God?
O Lord, I am
alone in the garden, and am sorely in need of an helpmeet. And God saith unto him, don't worry, Adam, I shall verily make unto thee an helpmeet. And Adam said...
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, God. Then, lo, whilst Adam was asleeping, God plucked from his side... Yes?
A rib.
A rib. And lo, he did make this rib of Adam into...
A lady.
A lady. Precisely. And that is what you are. You are but a rib of the man. In fact, without the man, you would not have been. All right. I'm a man, and you're a lady, and that's the way it is. We have no choice in it.
But I...
Because it says it in the Bible. And you can't argue with the Bible, because it was written by God. And God is, yes, yes.
A man?
Obviously, yes. Because he couldn't have been a lady, could he?
Why couldn't he have been a lady?
I cannot believe what you just said. What did you just say?
What?
Right, little Dorrit. You're going out of this house this moment. You're not coming back till you've had a proper think about what you just said.
But look at the horrible wind and weather.
Oh, you should have thought about that, my girl. Now, outside with you and think, little Dorrit. Do you hear me? Think.
Oh, no. Husband! Please, husband. I'm so sorry, husband.
Think.
What's that?
Think.
I don't know what's going on in my brain no more. What are all these thoughts I'm suddenly thinking? Go away, please. Oh, husband. My husband. Help me.
So what will happen to little Dorrit, unexpectedly expelled from her household home?
For asking one too many awkward questions.
Will she return, fully obedient and ready to learn her husband's lessons?
Or what will happen precisely?
We present Act 2 of our groundbreaking and probably award-winning play... Raymond?
Raymond. All right, yeah. Giant ladies that changed the world.
Thank you, Raymond.
Being and comprehensive academic and romantic recreation of the lives and times of all them ladies known to the world as the suffragettes.
Thank you, Raymond.
And presenting Act 2, meeting the Plankhursts.
Plankhursts? Leave it.
Right. Good heavens, look at me. I'm so distressed and confused, having been cast out, albeit temporarily, from mine husband and home. Look at me. I've been thinking and walking and walking and thinking, and now I'm totally lost in the streets of early 20th century London in a terrible rainstorm. I normally have my husband's umbrella to shelter under, but now I have nothing. What is this singing I'm keeping on hearing in the wind and in the rain? What's happening to me? And how can I find my way home? Who on earth can I ask, I wonder? Wait a minute. I'll ask that lady over there in that big purple and green dress and holding that placard blowing in the wind. Excuse me, please.
Yes, and how might I help you, please?
I am hopelessly lost, I'm afraid, and wondered if you might help me, please.
Certainly I will.
Oh, thank you so much. But first, might I see your placard you was holding? Is it an advertisement for Pell's soap, possibly, or some new cleaning agent of the modern age? But wait a minute. What's it say? Votes for ladies? But I know who you are now. You are one of Mrs. Plankhurst's lady suffragettes.
Yes, that's perfectly correct. I am, as it happens. Votes for ladies. Votes for ladies.
Votes for ladies? But if the ladies got the vote, the Houses of Parliament will be full of gooseberry syllabubs and junkets and the whole world will collapse into the chaos and anarchy.
Will it now?
Yes, because us ladies has no place tinkering in the men's world, and we must stay at home and be content with our lot. I hope I've made myself perfectly clear. Thank you and good morning.
Sorry, I didn't catch your name, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes, I'm Little Dorrit.
Hello, Little Dorrit.
Hello.
I am Emily Wilding Davison.
Oh, hello, Emmeline Wilding Davison.
Hello, sister.
But I haven't got any sisters.
You have, actually.
Don't know what you're talking about. Never had a sister. Anyway, got to be going now. Can't stand here chit-chat-chatting all morning. Actually, I just remembered.
Yes?
I'm completely lost. Could you possibly help me to hail an handsome cab, possibly, back to my husband, possibly, please?
Can't right now, I'm afraid.
Oh, well, sorry for the inconvenience. Oh, my goodness, but you were chained up to the railings. Who has done this terrible thing?
Do not be alarmed, for I have the key.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Now what you done? You just chucked him down the drain.
Don't want to make it easy for him, do we?
Don't we? Who? Oh, no! It's the police force! You'll get arrested!
Well, that's the general idea.
But they'll put you in prison and everything.
With a bit of luck, yes.
We've got to do something! Oh, no! What shall I do, Emily? Tell me, please!
All right. If you want to help... Do you want to help, Little Dorrit?
Yes. I don't know. I mean, I'll have to ask my husband. Oh, no, he's not here. All right. What shall I do?
Right. Go to 50 Clarendon Road in London and tell him I've been arrested.
50 Clarendon Road in London.
Run, Little Dorrit, run.
Oh, righto.
Hey,
Little Dorrit. Hurry. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Sorry. Oh, what am I doing? Sorry. Oh, no, thank you. Sorry.
You cannot go too far. Let's get a move on. Junkin'.
Hello?
Oh, hello?
Password.
Pardon?
Password, please. Quickly, please.
Emily's been arrested. Emily Wilding Davison. She was chained to the railings in the big hat and the police came and the keys fell down the drain and she had a placard and Emily's been arrested.
That'll do. Name, please?
Little Dorrit.
Pass, Little Dorrit. Come in, please. Follow me, please.
I'm not stopping. I just thought you should know.
This way, please.
Right. Good heavens! What is this place, if you don't mind my asking? I never seen nothing like it. All this typing and bustling and faxing and photocopying. But even more than extraordinary is, it's all being done by ladies.
Quite correct, Little Dorrit. This simple and unassuming middle-class London home is, in fact, the bustling hub and operational nerve centre of the radical new world-changing movement of the WPSU, which stands for the Women's, Personal... Special, something. Or the Women's Ladies Movement.
Oh, my goodness. In other words, the suffragettes.
Spot on, Little Dorrit. Right, just introduce you. Excuse me, ladies. Ladies! If I could just have your attention for a moment, please. This is Little Dorrit.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
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 But they all look just like ordinary normal ladies.
Quite right, little Dorrit. Well observed. Back to work, ladies. Right, through here, please. Just down here, please.
Sorry, I do not even know your name.
Oh, yes, sorry. My name is Christabel.
Christabel? But now I know who you are now. You must be Christabel Plankhurst, the famous raving suffragette and daughter of...
May I introduce my mother?
Mrs. Emmeline Plankhurst.
Come in, little Dorrit.
Thank you.
That'll be all, Christabel. You look a little pale, little Dorrit. Are you all right?
I am a little frightened, if you wish to know.
Well, I'm not surprised. I am rather a frightening person. Do sit down.
Right. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry. Do move the placards. They chuck them down anywhere, these girls. Dear, oh dear.
Oh, right.
All right. Give them to me. I'll... Okay, here we are. Sure.
Oh. Oh, that one's lovely.
Yes, it is lovely, isn't it?
All them colours.
Yes, it's from the ladies of the Chawton Cum Hardy branch of the WPSP... USP.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, and look at that one.
Excuse me. Sorry. Won't be a tick. Yes. Speaking. Righto. Yes. Right. Yes. We're all set here. Are you, sirs? Right. Operation Matron at 0300 hours. Alpha Bravo. Bravo. Foxtrot Lima something. And over and out. Sorry. Where was we?
Oh, yes. Emily's been chained to the railings in a big hat and been arrested with a lovely placard.
That's right.
But why would she do such a thing? They'll put her in prison. They'll put her behind bars. That's the absolutely most worst possible thing I could possibly imagine.
But that's where we are already, isn't it, little Dorrit? Behind bars?
Who is?
All us ladies.
Are we?
Aren't you, little Dorrit?
Me? Course not. Am I? I don't know. Don't know what to think. Sorry,
Where are you going?
I think I better ask my husband.
Now, look here, little Dorrit.
Yes?
Sit down, please.
All right.
Now, look. Us ladies are on the verge of something pretty big here. We've protested before, of course, but not ever in such enormously colossal numbers. This is our moment, little Dorrit. All of us sisters, here, at the same time and the same place. No one's been here at this point in history before. We are all of us pioneers.
Sorry, Mrs. Plankhurst, but I don't understand anything you're saying, owing to my education, being a girl, ended when I was 9.
What did you learn?
Ironing, bed making, how to do an egg. So I don't really understand anything, unfortunately. For example, what is a pioneer, for example?
A pioneer is an intrepid explorer, a fighter for truth, or a valiant pilgrim, if you will.
So what's a pilgrim, if you don't mind my asking?
A pilgrim is a traveller to a sacred place. Someone who follows her own heart. And where is your heart, little Dorrit?
My heart? Well, with my husband, of course. Isn't it? I think I should go now.
But what about Emily?
Emily?
Emily Wilding Davison.
Oh, yes, Emily Wilding Davison. I forgot all about her. We've got to help Emily. I'm all confused now. I don't know where my heart is. What should we do, Mrs. Plankhurst?
Well, I'll tell you what we should do, little Dorrit.
Yes?
We should go and talk to Mr. Asquith himself.
Mr. Asquith himself? But he's the Prime Minister of this country and of all of the Empire and the Orleans Commonwealth and Dominicans. He's hardly going to listen to you and me, Mrs. Plankhurst, with all due respect.
True, little Dorrit. He might not listen to us on our own, but he might if we all go.
What's that?
What?
Coming from the living room. Sounds like singing.
It is singing.
What singing? Wait a minute. It's the suffragette singing in the living room.
That's right. Just in here.
Good heavens. I've never seen so many ladies in simple, unassuming, simple London living room in the whole of my life. But wait a minute. I know that hymn. It's he who would valiant...
She who would valiant be.
She?
That's right. Little Dorrit.
Yes?
You have unwittingly stepped across the threshold of something far greater and mightier than anything that has heretofore come before.
Heretofore to come before?
Still want to leave? Right. Stand back, please. Take a placard, please. Thank you, ladies. Take a placard. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Thank you very much. Take a placard, if you would, please. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. a placard for you, Little Dorrit. It will be an hard and dangerous path you tread. Because this is not just a battle for the vote we're doing, but a battle for all the ladies to hearken their calling and take back the sacred proper care of the world which once was theirs and was taken from them.
Yes, a placard. Yes, please.
Here we are.
Actually, I like that one.
It's yours, Little Dorrit.
Oh, thank you.
Right. Hats on, ladies. Mind the chandelier, Christabel. Keep marching, please. Keep marching. Thank you, ladies. Keep marching. On you go. Keep marching. Up with the singing. Up with the singing. Up with the singing. Up with the singing.
So, what will happen now? Will the ladies enter the Houses of the Parliament and persuade the Prime Minister, Sandonine and Squith? Or will he turn them away with a flea in their ears? And what will happen to our heroine, Little Dorrit?
Good question, Raymond.
Thank you.
We present Act 3 in our historic drama.
Meeting the Men.
Order. Thank you, gentlemen. Take your seats, please. Take your seats, please. All you gentlemen of the Houses of the Parliament. Take your seats, please, and pray silence, please. For the right prime honourables, gentlemen, of the Prime Minister.
Hooray!
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Settle down, please. Settle down. Thank you. Now, as you know, gentlemen, I am the current Prime Minister and incumbent, Sir Henry Herbert something Asquith, and leader, of course, of the Liberal Party, or Lib Dems, as they shall become known. But don't be alarmed by the word liberal, as we are, in fact, extremely conservative.
Hear, hear!
Thank you, Lord Whipsnade. Now, I know we've had our political disagreements between the party political parties, but today we meet in full collaboration and united in a new common cause.
What is the new common cause, Prime Minister, or PM, obviously?
It is simply this. To stop the ladies, get him the vote. Settle down, please. Settle down. Order. That's enough, Raymond.
Thank you.
And why shouldn't the ladies get the vote, I hear you ask?
I don't know. Why shouldn't the ladies get the vote, may we ask?
Good question, Lord Haymarket.
Thank you very much.
It's quite simple, and to put it quite simply, it's simply this. Because the men, i.e. us, cannot let the ladies in on the inner male enclave.
But what is it then about them ladies, precisely, that we cannot let them in, the ladies in the inner enclave?
I'm glad you asked me that, my Earl of Sandwich.
Thank you.
And I'll begin, if I may, by saying quite categorically that this is not a typically male knee-jerk reaction, but the result of several minutes' research in this issue. And I now have irrefutable scientific evidence in the form of a governmental top-secret dossier concerning the latest research regarding the ladies. Everybody sitting down?
Sitting down now, Prime Minister.
Thank you. Now, the ladies, as we know, my lords, are gentle souls. Easily swayed, charming and willful, but at the same time, highly demanding.
Quite right, Prime Minister.
Thank you. They are, in many respects...
What was that noise, Prime Minister?
No idea. In many respects, like children. We must allow them their tantrums, humour their childlike demands, but ultimately they need order.
Order!
That's enough, Raymond. The ladies, in short, need to know what's what. They need to understand what they can, and even more importantly and slightly more urgently, what they can't do. And how can I say this with such certainty?
How, Prime Minister, how?
The reason I can say this with such certainty is that it has recently been scientifically provenly proved that the actual woman's brain, the actual cranial brain itself, is fascinatingly several pounds lighter than a man's.
Fascinating!
Absolutely.
Who'd have thought it?
Right. And that...
That explains everything.
Yes, that's enough screaming, Lord Sainsbury.
Right.
And therefore, my point being... The lady's brain is molecularly and chemically entirely different to the man's by nature of it being totally childlike. Or to put it another way, plain simple.
There it goes again, Your Highness.
Concentrate, please, my Duke of Hazard.
Sorry.
In other words, charming in the kitchen, or the nursery, obviously,
but not something one could ever unleash as a practical force upon the world stage. Do I make myself clear?
You certainly do, Prime Minister.
Right, so let's take a vote on it. All those in favour of the appalling idea of women having a vote, raise your hands, please. Right, nobody. Thank you. And now, all those resolutely and utterly opposed to the whole ghastly notion, raise your hands. And that's everyone. Marvellous. So there we are. Motion passed. And now, on to the next motion. All those in favour of having the First World War.
It's getting louder, Prime Minister.
Yes, it is, rather. Mr. Speaker?
Speaking!
See what it is, please.
Certainly, Prime Minister.
What can you see, Mr. Speaker?
I've never seen nothing like it.
What is it?
Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of ladies. Must be all the ladies in the whole country.
What? Here in London's famous Parliament Square?
Yes! Look, Prime Minister, it is an whole pageant of ladies singing and cheering with bright flags and colourful banners and placards, the like of which has never been seen in this country before, I would wager. And look at them all from all walks of life. Nurses and clerical workers and artists and gymnasts and gardeners and the dons and students of our universities. Milliners and nursemaids and nannies, and also ordinary working ladies. Thousands upon thousands of them, some at risk of forfeited wages or even dismissal. And look, England's mothers, marambulators and bassinets.
Yes, I think we get the point, thank you.
The whole of London's famous Strand is alive with colour and singing and chanting. Oh. All the ladies winding like a gigantic serpent of white and green and purple.
Yes, that's enough, Mr. Speaker, please. So where are they all going, this monstrous regiment of women?
Where are they going?
Yes.
Oh, no. They're coming straight here to the Houses of the Parliaments itself.
Right. Close the doors immediately.
The doors? Do you mean the main doors of Parliament?
Yes.
The mighty main oaken doors of Parliament?
Yes, just close them.
But they cannot be closed to nobody, Prime Minister, as decreed by the Magnum Carters of King Jim of Gaunt and John of Groats.
It doesn't mean women, does it?
Doesn't it?
No, of course not. Close the doors. Close them quickly. Immediately. Close the doors immediately. Quickly.
Can't shift them.
Come on, everybody. Come on, all you men. Push. Push. That includes you, Lord Chipping Norton.
But I am extremely ancient, Your Worship.
I don't care how ancient you are. Shut the doors. Shut the doors of Parliament against the women.
God. That told him, Lord Ansquith.
Yes, seems to have done the trick. Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, no, they're still there.
Yes, I can hear that, thank you. Just ignore them and they'll go away.
They're not going away, Prime Minister.
I'm fully aware of that, thank you, little Lord Fauntleroy.
Open up! We know you're in there! Open up!
This is a, recorded message. I'm afraid, unfortunately, no one's here at the moment. Please leave a message after the tone, and someone will get back to you as soon as possible. Possibly. Beep.
That told him, Prime Minister. Well done.
Thank you very much, Lord Snooty.
We know it's you, Lord Asquith, hiding in your parliament.
All right. Look, I'm rather busy at the moment, I'm afraid. So I'm afraid...
We want the vote, please.
Who am I speaking to, please?
Mrs. Pankhurst, if you want to know. With all my daughters and my sisters and our latest recruit, Little Dorrit. Say hello, Little Dorrit. Hello!
Dorrit? Dorrit? Don't we have a backbencher called Dorrit? Fetch him immediately, please, little Lord Pumfret.
Certainly, Lord Ansquith. Call in the Right Honourable Mr. Dorrit. Call in the Right Honourable Mr. Dorrit.
Yes, can I help you?
It would appear your personal wife is at the very door, Mr. Dorrit, and being as it's a lady is against parliamentary rules.
My wife, Little Dorrit? I think that's extremely unlikely.
Hello, mine husband, Mr. Dorrit.
Ah, Sorry. Excuse me, please. Sorry. Thank you. Excuse me. Excuse me. Thank you.
Mind my...
Just squeeze through here, please. Thank you. Thank you.
Speak up, I'm afraid. There's a massive medieval ancient oaken door between us.
What are you playing at, Little Dorrit?
I'm marching with the ladies.
Don't be ridiculous. Now, you go home this moment, Little Dorrit, because I'm warning you, if you persist in this childish and petulant behaviour, you won't have a home to go to. Do you hear me? Little Dorrit, you obey me. Otherwise...
I cannot do that, I'm afraid, mine husband.
So what am I supposed to do then? Am I expected to cook for myself? Clean for myself? Fend for myself? You are my helpmate. And my solace. I'm lost without you, Little Dorrit.
And I am with the ladies now, Mr. Dorrit. And we want the vote, please.
Stand aside, Dorrit. You're clearly unable to control your own wife. Right, leave it to me now, please. Now, listen to me, ladies. Don't get us wrong. We love the ladies. Ladies are lovely, pretty things. Ornaments, if you will. Or to put it another way, an exquisite prize for all the jolly hard work us chaps do running the country. Now, you work hard too, of course you do. Ironing, cleaning, and what have you. And gosh, my golly, don't you look pretty too. With your lovely little dresses and tiny little waists, which you achieve, so I'm told, by wearing punitively agonizing corsets and starving yourselves half to death just for our benefit. So, hats off to the ladies! But what you're suggesting, you see, by demanding the vote, is that women should have a hand in actually running the country. Which would be quite impossible, obviously. The problem being, in a nutshell, that women have feelings, which you simply cannot have if you're running a country. Men do not have feelings, fortunately, seeing as their feelings have been thrashed out of them at their public schools and beaten to a pulp on the playing fields of Eton. And if any little tiny feelings remain, they are deeply repressed, never to emerge apart from the very rare occasion of up. Ladies can't have the vote because they're ladies. But in any case, you're far too late anyway, because we done a motion and we voted against it. So there we are. Right, thank you. I said, thank you. Hello? Well, that seems to have shut them up. Glad you've finally taken the point, ladies. Ladies? I said, what the hell are they doing out there?
Look! The whole of Parliament Square is empty, Prime Minister. They've gone! That speech really done the trick. Hooray for the Lord Prime Minister!
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Yes, that's the last we'll see of them, I think. Well, that was a bit of a doddle, wasn't it?
Certainly cooked their goose lawn, Dan Squith.
So, what will the ladies do now?
I've no idea, Desmond.
No. That was a rhetorical question, wasn't it, Raymond?
Was it?
Yes.
Got it, Desmond.
Good. So, anyway, as I was saying, what will the ladies do now? Will they decide that Lord Asquith and his men have defeated them at a single sit-in and call the whole thing off and return to their husbands and homes? Or have the Pankhursts got something else up their sleeves?
Listen in tomorrow for the latest sight in Evansnode of...
No.
What?
It's not this now, isn't it? It's not tomorrow. It's now, isn't it?
What, now?
Yes.
All right, it's now then, Desmond.
Yes, I know, I just...
Right.
Right. So, listen in now to Act 4 of our award-winning and prestigious radio costume drama, recorded live at the exclusive Woman's Hour Recording Suite, BBC Centre, BBC... BBC.
Act 4.
Hang on, Raymond. Beam, the first time in the history of the BBC that this historic struggle will have been done entirely by two men. Thank you.
Cue.
Carry on, please, Raymond.
Right, thank you. Oh. And now, at last, Act 4. Little Dorrit pulls it off. Or does she? Oh.
And so, set in the scene, the ladies, forlorn and despondent, have gathered together in the living room of 50 Clarendon Road, London, the headquarters and HQ of the suffragette movement, or the WPPPU something.
Mrs. Plankhurst!
Yes, Little Dorrit?
What will we do now, Mrs. Plankhurst and all the other ladies? We've done all them placards and marching for nothing. We're finished. We'll never get the vote now.
Now listen to me, Little Dorrit. My daughters and all the other ladies sitting around looking all browbeaten and disconsolate after our recent visit to the Houses of Parliament this afternoon. We are certainly not finished. In fact, we've only just begun.
But how, Mrs. Plankhurst? How?
I'm just about to explain, as a matter of fact. But first, let's all have a jolly good cup of Edwardian Indian tea.
Righto.
All done?
Yep.
Good. Now then, I've been thinking about this, and it's clear to me no one's going to get the vote just standing around in big hats. I've come up with a pretty sensational plot to make our voices finally heard once and for all and for all time.
What plot, Mrs. Plankhurst, please?
So listen up, all you burgeoning feminists, and send word immediately to all our sisters across the nation. Meet at Oxford Street in London Town tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock prompt.
2 o'clock prompt?
2 o'clock prompt.
Quick, there's not a moment to lose.
And so it was that word spread like wildfire amongst the ladies across the entire country.
In mansions, in houses, and in simple, humble dwellings and homes.
So let us now eavesdrop on some of those ladies heeding Mrs. Pankhurst's call across the nation. One moment, my wife, Mrs. Middlemarch.
Yes, what is it, my husband, Mr. Middlemarch?
Where do you think you're going all of a sudden out of the blue, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, just popping out to London Town's famous Oxford Street in London Town.
Oxford Street in London Town? What on earth for?
Just for some groceries. Anyway, better be going. Bye.
Wait a minute. What's that in your handbag?
Sorry?
Is that a brick in your handbag?
Brick? Don't know what you're talking about. Oh, this brick. Actually, I'm taking it back.
Taking it back?
To the brick shop. It's broken.
Taking back a broken brick to the brick shop in Brighton?
No, London.
London? Well, take it back, come home immediately, and don't dilly-dally on the way, right?
Righto. Bye. Hello, mine wife, Mrs. Browning-version.
Hello, my husband, Mr. Browning-version.
But where are you going in such an hurry with that hat box?
Just off to Oxford Street.
Oxford Street? Oxford Street? Not the fashionable West End Street, which is the male preserves of businesses and banking and gentlemen's clubs?
I am, actually, yes, my husband. Just meeting some of my frivolous, flighty lady friends there to, compare hats.
Compare hats? How charmingly pointless.
Yes. Anyway, better be,
But allow me to carry your hat box to the cab, if I may, seeing as you are a weak and feeble lady.
No, it's all right.
Oh, blooming heck! Oh, what the hell's in here, then? I can barely lift it.
Oh, it's just a very, very heavy, hat. Anyway, better be, Oh, look at the time. Bye.
Righto. Bye.
What did you say, my wife, Mrs. Barchester Towers? You're going shopping in Oxford Street? What on earth for?
Oh, just for various knick-knacks and Edwardian bric-and-brac, Mr. Barchester Towers. Anyway, better be...
You're in a rush, I must say. Careful or you'll trip up.
Oh!
What's this doing in your shopping basket? It's the entire garden rockery.
I'll just store you for a moment, if I may.
Righto.
Look, there's something extraordinary and surprising behind you.
Is there? Where?
Oh, no, my mistake. Bye.
Okay. Bye then.
And so it was that all the ladies started their converging on the famous Oxford Street in London.
Right. Everyone here?
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Plankhurst.
Mind that penny farthing, Little Dorrit.
Sorry.
Well, here we are in Oxford Street, the very symbol of male profit and dominance. And home of all the many male-only gentlemen's clubs. Now's the time to show 'em what's what.
Quite right, Mrs. Plankhurst.
Right. Now, you know the plan. You'll casually walk in with your innocent-looking handbags, hat boxes and shopping baskets, looking completely normal, till you get the signal from me. Is that clear?
Roger, roger, Mrs. P.
Good. Mind the London omnibus, little Dorrit.
Sorry.
Now, off you go. And ladies...
Yes, Mrs. Plankhurst?
Good luck.
Hello.
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 Isn't this exciting?
Certainly is. Yeah. And what is your name, please?
My name is Daisy.
Oh, hello, Daisy.
Hello.
I am Little Dorrit.
Hello, Little Dorrit.
Hello. So what do you do then, might I ask?
Oh, nothing very interesting, I'm afraid. I'm just a simple anonymous ladies below stairs undermaid. Shouldn't really be here, really.
A simple ladies undermaid? Normally I'd be ordering you about.
Oh, sorry, yes. So sorry, madam, for consorting with you in this manner. Might I get you anything? A cup of China tea, perhaps? Or a silver salver of cucumber sandwiches, possibly?
No. I'm just saying.
Oh.
How strange it is. I am from the middle to upper classes, as you can see from my fashionable attire and wide-brimmed hat.
And I am from the serving classes, with my pinny and mob cap and my ill-fitting wooden clogs.
Yes, from the totally opposing ends of the social spectrum.
Good heavens, yes.
And now here we are together, marching down Oxford Street on a world-changing mighty mission. Who'd have thought there'd ever be such a mingling of the classes, Daisy?
Yes.
What an historic moment we are both experiencing. It makes me feel 10 foot tall, like a giant lady.
We're both giant ladies.
We certainly are. But look, here comes Mrs. Plankhurst looking all secretive in a covert manner. Hello, Mrs. Plankhurst.
Quiet, Little Dorrit.
I do not believe we've met Mrs. Plankhurst.
Yeah. Yes, very good, Little Dorrit.
Thank you.
Now then, ready, ladies?
Yes, Mrs. P.
Good. Wait for the signal.
Wait for the signal.
Righto.
Wait for the signal. All right, ladies. Wait for the signal, please. Wait for the signal, ladies. Thank you. Wait for the signal. All right, ladies.
Oh, no! Where's Daisy? I lost her in the surging melee of London's famous Oxford Street. Now I feel incredibly anxious suddenly. I've never done nothing like this before. I should never have come. Perhaps I should return cap in hand to my husband.
Hello, Little Dorrit.
Hello? Oh, good heavens! Emily! Emily Wilding Davidson!
That's right.
The last time I seen you, you was chained to the railings in Act 2. I am so happy to see you safe and sound again.
And I'm so happy to see that you joined us.
Right. But I feel very unsure of myself suddenly, and I do not know whether I can possibly do what we're possibly about to do, possibly.
Fears and your concerns, Little Dorrit, but this is not the moment for doubts. Now is the time to stand fast with all your lady sisters.
Right. Thank you, Emily, for your encouraging words in my desperate hour of need.
It's a pleasure, Little Dorrit. So, are you ready now to take your part in this great and momentous ladies' historic moment?
Yes, I am.
Good. Because look, there's Mrs. Pankhurst about to blow her whistle.
Where?
Over there, look. Resplendent in all the colours of the suffragette movement, be in purple, white, green and gardenia.
Yes, look at her proudly standing with all her doughty daughters.
Well, no doubting now, Little Dorrit.
Right.
We cannot fall at the first hurdle, can we?
No.
Right. Any moment now. Wait for it. Here it comes. Here it comes.
So, what do we do? What do we do?
Open your handbag, Little Dorrit.
Right.
Take out the big brick.
Yeah, got it.
Right.
Right.
And chuck it.
Done it.
Well done, Little Dorrit. Now it's my turn. Here goes.
Look at all the horrible exclusive gentlemen's clubs all having their windows smashed. Look.
Hooray!
The British Empire Club.
Hooray!
The Eton and Harrow Club.
Hooray! Hooray!
The Conservative Club.
Hooray!
The Bullingdon Club.
Hooray!
The Garrick Club.
Hooray!
Stringfellows.
Hooray!
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 changing before our very eyes. It's turning upside down. Hooray!
And so we reach the last and fifth historic sequence of this historic story of the suffragettes. The giant ladies that changed the world.
Yeah, and also at this unhistoric juncture, please may we thank the singing ladies.
Yes, the Queen's College Choir of the Choir of Queen's College London.
Yes.
So now we present the dramatic and culminatory climax of this unique and life-changing drama. Be in the fifth and final act, entitling...
We Done It! Or Did We?
Thank you, Raymond. And now, on with the show. We left Mrs. Pankhurst's suffragettes dangerously pitted against the armed ranks of the mighty bastions of male power.
What will happen next, I wonder? Will the ladies be victorious?
Or have they literally bitten off more than they can chew? Find out now.
Fine, as... we enter the very heart of that mighty male power himself, the Buckingham Palace, in the year 1919-something. Come in.
You asked to see me, Your Highness.
Oh, yes, and who is you again, please?
The Prime Minister, Your Highness.
Oh, yes, that's right. Now, as you know, I am the King.
Yes, indeed, Your Highness.
Don't interrupt whilst I was talking, please.
So sorry, Your Highness.
King of all England and all her numerous colonies and dominions, Mint Imperial of the mighty British Empire. Anyway, Lord something, Hornbuntasquith, what's been going on with all them monstrous ladies?
Monstrous ladies, Your Highness?
Running riot in the streets, smashing all the windows of the gentlemen's clubs and Selfridges and Topshop even.
Well, yes, we did have a tiny bit of trouble, Your Highness, but we rounded them up, carted them off to jail, and we're giving them a particularly horrible time, if you get my meaning. They'll wish they'd never been born, Your Majesty.
What's their problem, anyway?
No idea, Your Highness.
Too much education, in my view.
Quite right, Your Highness.
Well, make a law or something. Ban all the ladies' education. Ban them all together. Get them off the streets. That's what they do in Egypt, isn't it? And they don't have any trouble there, do they?
None at all, Your Highness.
Because I'm warning you, Lord Prime Minister Alfred Lord Tennyson. I'm going to the famous Derby races today to race my own personal private royal racehorse.
Lovely, Your Highness.
And I don't want any trouble from any ladies whatsoever. Do you understand, Prime Minister?
The ladies are as good as finished. You mark my words, my liege.
They better be, or else. Oh! Oh, what was that? Where am I? Oh, no, I know where I am now. I am in the horrible Holloway prison. Look at me, bruised and beaten, and I'm so hungry on this hunger strike we's doing. I can't take it anymore. Jailer! Let me out, please, Jailer! I am very, very sorry. I'm not a suffragette, actually. I made a mistake. I'm in the wrong place. I want to go home to my house and home and husband.
Little Dorrit.
Who's that? The jailer?
It's Emily.
Emily?
Emily Wilding Davison.
Emily Wilding Davison? Hello, Emily Wilding Davison.
Hello.
Hello? I didn't know you was in here.
Well, I am.
Oh, Emily! Emily! I can't believe what they've done to us, all the men. I never would have believed they could do such things to ladies.
Yes, well, they do, I'm afraid.
Well, I don't want nothing more to do with it. I'm very, very sorry, Emily, but I'm not cut out to be a suffragette. I've got to get out. I've got to...
Little Dorrit.
What?
What about your sisters?
What sisters? I already told you I ain't got no sisters.
And I told you you have. They're all around you. In fact, they're all you've got, if you want to know. And they need you, Little Dorrit, to stand at their side or beside them.
But what's the point? There's just us tiny little band of ladies in here, and look how many men there are. How can we ever...
Look.
What?
Up there.
What?
Through the bars. Up there. What do you see, Little Dorrit?
What? I don't know.
Tonight the sky seems so perfect.
Oh, yes.
But stars.
Look. Stars. Millions and millions of stars. I've never seen so many in my whole life.
That's how many sisters you got, Little Dorrit. As many as the stars.
Really?
Well, approximately. And not just here in this horrible prison, but all over the world. Suffering for their rights. Striking for their freedom. Look at the stars, Little Dorrit, shining down upon you.
They are shining down upon me, Emily.
They've been here since the beginnings of time. And so have we.
Have we?
You cannot lock up the stars, Little Dorrit. And you cannot lock us up either. Do not abandon your sisters, Little Dorrit. We all depend on you.
Oh, well, I don't know. Jailer!
I bought you your supper.
Actually, I'm not eating. I'm on hunger strike, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, you know what happens to barmy ladies who don't eat, don't ya? We have to force them, don't we?
Oh, I don't know what to do. What shall I do, Emily? Emily?
Emily? Who's Emily?
Emily Wilding Davison, the famous suffragette. She was just here. Emily? Emily?
You have clearly not heard the news, madam. Emily Wilding Davison died this afternoon after throwing herself beneath the King's horse at the Derby races.
No! No, she was just here just now. I'd just been talking to her.
Talking to yourself, more like. You'll eat that up. If you know what's good for you.
Emily? If you can hear me? Sisters? Right. No! I won't eat it up! I will not abandon you. You have my sacred word. Because I have decided... I will be a joining you in the hunger strike till we got the vote. Even if it means dying for it. Because you are my sisters, and I am a sister also. And we will march together, shoulder to shoulder, on this mighty journey we's making. And no man will stop us. They can break our bodies, but not our spirits. And we will batter down the doors of their male domains. And we will never stop. Though the going gets tough and the tough gets going, we will prevail. Two for one and one for all. Because I know who I am now.
Hello and good evening. This is your Prime Minister speaking with an announcement to make.
Because I am nobody's spare rib no more. And I will follow mine own heart now.
Formally informing you that henceforth...
Because I obey no man.
And forthwith, the ladies will be getting the vote. All right?
Because I am a lady. I am a giant lady. I am a suffragette.
But only certain ladies, and only if you're over 30. And I hope that's an end to it. Thank you.
And we will ride our chariots of fire, and we'll not cease our mental fight, nor shall our swords sleep in our hands.
All right, all right. All ladies over 21.
Till the great day we get the vote. And on that day, as the giant ladies, they trip.
All ladies over 18, then. God, happy now.
Hello? Who's that? Hello?
Hello, great-great-great-great-grandma Dorrit.
Oh, hello, great little great-great-granddaughter little tiny Dorrit.
Hello.
Hello. I must have been asleep.
I think you was, actually. You were saying the strangest things about someone called Emily and Mrs. Pankhurst and stars and sisters. You must have been dreaming.
It wasn't a dream, actually. It all actually happened. We done it. We got the vote. All of us. Mrs. Pankhurst and Christabel and Sylvia and Adela and Annie and Daisy, of course, and Millicent and Mabel and Flora and Winifred and Constance and Jessie and Eleanor and Ruby.
And what was you again?
The suffragettes, my darling. The giant ladies. We stood and faced the men, shoulder to shoulder, and we won. We got the vote. I hope you vote, young lady.
Vote? No point, is there?
No point? You better, my girl. I'm telling you, we didn't go through all of that for nothing.
But nothing ever changes. It's still a man's world, even if you did get the vote.
It wasn't just the vote. The vote was just the first step. To take back our sacred purpose as carers of the world, since she was once ours and has been taken from us. The point being, if the men go on running things, we're not going to have a world left, are we?
But there's nothing I can do about it, is there?
So what are you going to do? Give up?
Oh.
Or fight?
Fight?
With all your sisters beside you.
All my sisters?
Standing beside them, side by side beside them, just like what we done. Against all the odds. But we done it, and so can you. Make an whole new world, child. A new world, never none seen before.
Right.
Because you are... What are you?
A sister.
And?
Oh,
A giant.
A giant?
No, a giant.
Oh, a panda.
No.
Oh, no.
No, a giant.
Lady. Giant lady. I'm a giant lady.
Yes, you are. And don't you forget it.
I won't. I won't, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmama Dorrit. I certainly won't.
Right. That's my gal.
Here's Emily, she's the piper, and they will never grow old. So I bid you welcome, welcome sisters, welcome to the fold. You ask me how I've been there.
That was good, wasn't it, Desmond?
Well, I thought so, Raymond.
We done it for our sisters, didn't we, Desmond?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're sort of like sisters, aren't we, Desmond?
Yeah, in a manner of speaking.
This is a lady's song, isn't it, Desmond?
Yeah, it's very much a,
one for the ladies.
Very much so, Raymond.
Cue.
Have you met my family?
wouldn't take long to know them well. Though they number from 1 to 1,000,000, in this house we all dwell.
Giant Ladies That Changed the World was written and performed by the National Theatre of Brent, who are Patrick Barlow and John Ram. It featured the Queen's College Choir and was directed by Patrick Barlow. The producer was Liz Anstey, and it was a CPL production for the BBC.